Hopefully you found Hebrews chapter 11. This thing's ringing or something, but oh well. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Let's all stand. Reverence to God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning and we ask, Lord, that You would prepare our hearts for Your Word. Lord, that You would clear all the thoughts away and put them all on You. Lord, in a special way this morning, we want to give thanks to all the veterans, those that have lost their lives over the years, those that have since gotten out of the military, those that are still serving. Lord, be with them. Put a hedge of protection about them. We thank You, Lord, for their service. Lord, we do, in a special way, ask You to be with their families. Bless them, put a hedge of protection about them. But Lord, we also think of those in the Lord's army. All the missionaries over the years that have been in harm's way, many have lost their lives to stand for You. We ask You to be with them, be with their families. Lord, those that are serving as missionaries as we speak, at home and abroad, be with them. Put a hedge of protection about them. We thank You. Lord, I ask this morning, if there's one here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, that they would come to know You. Lord, I pray that the message this morning will go out, lay on our hearts what You would have us to take, that we would take heed to it, and Lord, that we would change our lives and put all of our thoughts, all of our efforts, all on You. And we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Find 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to go to that passage here in a moment. No, 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. In order to be a good soldier, you must believe in what you're serving, what you're doing it for. And I put for a title to this morning's message is Faithful Soldier. You got to be persuaded that what you're fighting for is the way, and that is the truth, and that is the life that you would like to be in, and that you stand for. And if we do this, then and then only will you embrace what you believe and be the best that you can be. I wore a uniform. My wife said I look good in it. I like that. Amen. But I'm going to be up front with you. I didn't wear it for that purpose. I wore it because I believed in this country and I believed in the freedom and the way of life that this country stood for. Sometimes I'm very displeased with what I see in America. But nonetheless, we still live in the best country in the world. Amen? People could see, honestly, that I was a dedicated soldier. I'd never looked sloppy. I always wore my uniform, and I say this in the right sense, but I wore it proudly. Now, in my platoon, we had different type of people. We had those who were soldiers. I'm talking, they were top notch. They were soldiers. That's what they wanted to be. That was their desire, and they wanted to do it for a certain purpose. And they wore their uniform proudly. But we also had those that were just more or less abiding their time. They were there. They come into the military because they were bored. They didn't have anything else to do. And they were just there. And they'd done the things they were supposed to do. And they kept up with those of us that thought of it in a different manner. But you also had those that you wished hadn't have been there, because they could have cared less. Some of those guys were forced to be in the military. In my time, they did that. I don't know if they do that anymore. But they just didn't want to be there. They didn't really care about it. They were slothful. They were sloppy. They were late. They didn't really have a big concern. Now, I got a question for you. Which soldier are you in the Lord's army? Ask yourself that. Out of all those three that I just named that were in my platoon, which one are you? Are you that top notch that wants to carry out the Lord's service? Are you the one that, well, you stumbled onto religion? Honestly, God called you and you got saved, but now all of a sudden you're part of it and it's like you're just going through the motions. Or maybe you're that kind that it's like, hey man, I'm glad I'm here, I'm glad I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, let's get it over with. You got to ask yourself which one you are. You see, what's our service to the Lord telling people? When I read 2 Samuel chapter 10, it's kind of where all of this came from. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But what's our service tell other people? What do other people see? I wore a uniform, and you know, ask my wife, it was starched. It always looked good. I had the right creases. I spit shined my boots. I'll be honest with you, a lot of times she did for me. I had jump boots. That way they were real pretty. You could shave in them. You could look at them and use it for a mirror. Man, they were... And I wanted to look good because I wanted to stand for who I was. So what do people see? Now, you might say, well, I'm not in the military. Yeah, you are. Honestly, whether you wanted to be a soldier or not, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning and you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are now enlisted in the Lord's army. Amen. You might not have wanted to be a soldier. Listen, I've went through all of my life meeting people, they never wanted to be a soldier. And that's okay. But once you got saved, you became a soldier. You see, that's the way it works. Everything we do or say, all of our actions, all of our the way we dress, our faithfulness. Every bit of what I just mentioned shows the world how much you love God and how much you care about what Jesus did for you on the cross. See, when I was in the military, man, I would see some people, and they come walking up, and they got their hands in their pockets, and they slouch looking, and I'm like, boy, he could care less about being in the service. Hat all cocked back, and when they saluted an officer, if they did, walking around, they'd like, yeah. And right off the bat, you're like, you know what? I don't want to be in the foxhole with that guy. I'm not interested in that. He doesn't really care about what he's doing it for. So how much is he going to care about me if we're out on the battlefield? When I wore the uniform, I wore it proudly. When I saluted, I practiced in the mirror so it would look good. And I got it down pat. I had my cap all on perfectly. And man, when I saluted, I didn't bring my finger up to my... I brought it up here like this. Looked good that way. I liked it. And it was snappy, you know, like you put it up. And we would see the paratroopers. I've told you about that. The only two things fall out of the sky. I ain't neither one of them. I ain't getting out of a good airplane. Not unless I was forced. Those guys would salute us, and man, they'd come back out like this, and they'd go... They had her down pat. That was their little parachute. They all practiced this stuff. You had the MPs at the gates. They all had their little special salutes, and they'd do their special waves, and you're like, man, what are you... I used to salute first lieutenant, second lieutenants on purpose. I looked for them. I'd wait and see one with a handful of bags. And I'd go out of my way to confront them so I could salute them. Because, listen, they're fresh out of school. And they want to salute them. But now they're trying to figure out how to salute because they got their hands all full. That's just the funny part of it. But you see, everything that we do or say, our actions, our dress, our faithfulness is all about what we believe in. My dad was a Marine. Oh, Lord help the world. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Listen, when I got out of the military, I said, bleh, by humbug, I ain't going back unless they call me. And when I got out, I put my cowboy hat back on and I was happy. And I could get up and do what I wanted, when I wanted, and I didn't have to answer to anybody. That was good. But if the Army called me up tonight, trust me, I'll go. But he was a Marine. He wore his uniform proudly. And man, when I wore mine, I walked the streets with mine on, and I expected people to move. Because that's the way I felt. I'm in this military. You see, that's what people ought to see in Christians. They ought to see in Christians that we are proudly serving the Lord God. That we are proudly serving a God that is, listen, not dead. He's alive. I better go back and do that again. Our Lord and Savior is not dead. He's alive. That's who we serve. And we are in His service. Military. So, you know, by the way you serve God, what are you telling your family, your friends, or the world about who you serve, the God you serve, with your life and actions? King David, he had a group of men. We just think we got special forces. Listen, we ain't got a clue what special forces are. We got some pretty bad guys out there. They really are. They're good at what they do. But you need to read about these guys. One of these days, write these verses down. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Write that chapter down. And 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Write that and read about these guys. They were called his mighty men. And they stuck with David through thick and thin. They covered his six back. They made sure everything was fine. They're called David's mighty men. These men were serious about serving their God and their king. They were serious about it. And when you read that, you get the chance, you read that at home. Let me tell you something. There's stuff in there and you're going to be like, one guy did that? Yeah. Listen, don't put it past what God can take and do with you. It is amazing. 2 Samuel 23 and 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Read those chapters, you get opportunity. They tell you all about His mighty men. I can't do it this morning. We don't have time. But the question is, why were they so successful in battle? We're going to go through that in a minute. 2 Samuel chapter 10. What you've got is you've got verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me." David, this guy died, and his son took over, and David says, I'm going to show kindness to him because his dad showed kindness to me. And I'm going to show kindness to him. And he sent ambassadors, we'll call them. He sent them guys over there. And the new king listened to his advisors, and maybe he shouldn't have. And they took these ambassadors and they shaved half their face. Now listen, to a Jew, you don't mess with their beard. Maybe that's what's wrong. I think that away. Don't mess with it. I go to the barber shop or the whoever, and they, you want me to trim you? No, you leave that alone. I'll take care of it. I may not do a good job, but it's mine. And you don't mess. But they shaved half of them off, and then the Jews are very modest, and they took and they cut off their gowns right about their waist, and they're embarrassed. And sent them on their way because the king's advisor said, oh, David's done sent spies over here. That's what he's done. David was sending them out of the kindness of his heart to comfort them. Oh, he sent spies. So, and they sent them running back home. Well, they had some spies of their own that come out and watched, and they saw that David was mad. It says in the Bible that they saw that it stank. You ever smelled something that just stank? You didn't know that's a word, did you? You know, I've smelled some things that was stinky. But stank, that's nasty. And David was disgusted with what they had done. And these spies saw it. Well, the children of Ammon, listen, they wasn't prepared to go to battle. So they gathered up them some mercenaries. You know what a mercenary is? A mercenary, I've known some. And they are just military minded. They want to go out and kill, and they do it for the highest bidder. That's what they are. And that's what these guys done. They hired them a bunch of mercenaries to go out because they knew that David was about to come over and do some damage because they embarrassed. Not only did they embarrass these guys that come to visit them, that was a cut to the whole country and an insult to the king. Be kind of like what happened with us in Benghazi. We should have nuked that place the second that took place. We should have bombed them back to the Stone Age and made them wish they had never done what they did to our ambassadors. That was wrong. And we ought to be that way still as a country. They jack around with your ambassadors. That's a straight up insult to me. Not to mention to me, but to the president. And I don't care who it is. It's wrong. That's what David, they knew that was coming. They're like, uh-oh, we better get ready because it's fixing to break loose. So verse 7 of 2 Samuel 10, it says that when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men, and the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and Rahab and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him, and before and behind, he chose all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. In other words, you got to picture this. What happened is Joab goes out to fight. David calls his officer. He said, get your men, the mighty men, bring them And let's teach them a lesson. Joab steps out. He sees what's going on. They're in front of him and they're behind him. And he's like, this ain't good at all. And so he says, verse 10, and the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, which was one of the mighty men, Joab's brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. And he said, be of a good courage, and let us play the men for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. So here we are, we're out here in the battlefield, and he stands up and he says, okay, I got a problem. They're here, but they're also here. I'm in the middle. And so he separates some more of them. And he says, Abishai, you take this group, you jump on these. I'm going to take this group and jump on these. Listen, they had thousands coming after them. But you got to remember something. These guys were dedicated to what they were doing. They were dedicated to their king. They were dedicated to their God. You see, what made them so successful? They were knit together. They were united together for the same cause. That's what made part of, that's why they were so powerful. They believed in what they were doing and why they were doing it. In other words, they wore the uniform proudly. Not only did they wear it proudly, but they learned all they possibly could. They learned everything about the battle that they needed to know, and they wanted to be very good at what they were doing. One guy goes out, and when you're reading about the mighty man, he goes out and kills several hundred people with a sword. One guy. And he fought so long that his hand clave to the sword, and he was weary, but he killed them all. He believed in what he was doing, and God gave him what he needed to get it done. Not only that, they encouraged each other. You look at verse 7 again. Verse 7 says, and when David heard of it, heard of what? He heard of the mercenaries they called and they were going to attack. He sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. Now, what do you think it would have been like if David had said, hey, Joab, go get your guys. We got a bunch of mercenaries coming at us. We got a war on our hands. We've got to fight. And Joab goes out there and about half of them showed up. What kind of morale would that have done? Man, their platoon would have been like, where's everybody at? It wouldn't have been very good. You see, 1 Chronicles 12:38 says, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Basically, because of the way these guys believed and the way these guys were serious and they believed in what they were doing, listen, it encouraged all the rest of them. Why do you think Paul wrote in Hebrews 10:25, come to church? You know why? Oh, so God can bless you. No, he wrote, come to church so that you can encourage this one and that one and that one and this one. And this one over here, and her, and him, and you, and you, and you, and you. It's all of an encouragement to each other. Because guess what we're doing? We're just living our time until we're out of here for the rapture. No. We're to encourage each other because we're in a battle every day on the battlefield and the mercenaries are fighting against us, the devil's army. Listen, the devil mocks everything that God does. The Lord has His army. The devil's got his. He uses politics against you. He uses people out here in the stores against you. You go in a restaurant and pray. Watch people's faces. Sometimes I'll do that. When I'm done praying, I'll kind of glance around just to see what people are doing. There's people over there. They're all murmuring. They ain't telling them, hey, oh, that was great. No, they ain't saying that. If there was, they'd do like I did. I got up and went and shook a guy's hand the other day. I said, appreciate your faithfulness, brother. And I called him a brother. You see, that's what the mighty men were. They were willing to stand because they believed in what they were doing. Listen, we as Christians today best stand and best believe in what we're doing, be persuaded and be embraced. And if you're not, you need to get out. Because you tear down the rest of them. That's what happens. When the platoon I was in, we were so thrilled when some of them just AWOL, they left. They ended up in the brig. But it lowered our morale when they came in. Because they made the rest of us feel bad. There wasn't no encouragement. Listen, we're here to encourage each other. That's why we're here. That's what it's all about, is the encouragement. And then we go out and set the right examples. Because we're encouraged. But overcome weakness. You see, they were not only knit together, they were not only encouraging each other, but they helped each other overcome weaknesses. Verse 11. Joab said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, I will come and help thee. That goes to Galatians chapter 6. You see a brother in a fault? You ought to go talk to him. You see, when one of us is down and out, the other one can lift the other one up. That was the whole idea. Whenever Joab said, he said, listen, he said, if I see them stomping you, I'm going to help you out. But if I see them if you see them getting on me, you need to come help me out. Listen, we're here to help each other out. We're not in this thing to be against each other. We're in this thing to help each other. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lift each other up. And when we see something going wrong, we're to let them know. We're to say, hey, that may not be a good idea. If they don't listen, good. Let them fall on their face. They'll figure it out. But you've got to tell them. You've got to be willing to help a person. That's what these guys were willing to do. They were willing to help them overcome the weaknesses that they had. And it's amazing what the Lord does. You see, as you read this story, you'll find out that they all looked and said, this ain't good. And the mercenaries run. They left. They couldn't handle Joab and his mighty men, and they all bugged out. They're like, gone. And then later they came back because they thought, well, we'll get them this time. And David went with them. They stomped some hind end that day. By the way, this same story, though, is where David messed up later. It's during this time when David decided, well, they can handle it. And he stayed home. He got in trouble. But you see, we do it. These guys were knit together. They were unified, in other words. They encouraged each other. They were doing it for encouragement. They were helping each other overcome their weakness. Everybody has a weakness. I don't care who you are. Somewhere you got a weakness. We're all there to help each other. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what David's mighty men were. Listen, they were not there they didn't stick with David running around from cave to cave and living in the wilderness and just because they thought he was a neat guy. They believed in what he was doing. And they believed in their God. Listen, that's what we need to be doing. Because when we do it, when we follow these examples, we're letting others see Christ. That they may want what we've got. Go to Mark chapter 2. Book of Mark chapter 2. It's a familiar passage. Mark chapter 2. It says again, he entered, that's Jesus, into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Here Jesus is. Jesus is preaching the word. He's healing people. Here comes these four guys hauling one on a stretcher. They get there and they can't get in. Ain't gonna happen. Now, let me tell you what Baptists usually do. When you got somebody down, you kick them because they can't fight back. It ought not to be, but about halftime, that's what it is. Listen, we need to be like these four guys. They went the extra amount to get this guy to Jesus. They went up on top of the house, pulled off the tiles. They didn't worry about getting sued. They didn't worry about who they were going to make mad. They pulled off the tiles and they lowered this guy down. And listen, that guy walked that day, and not only that, he's also in heaven today. And he still thanks those four guys for standing up and being what they needed to be for him. That's what we need to be doing as Christian brothers and sisters. We need to be helping each other. We should. However we possibly can. Now, I will agree. Listen, if the guy had a pitch to fit, you ain't hauling me down there. Well, I guess you leave him laying on the stretcher wherever he was at. But you got to lend the hand. If they ain't willing to shake it. See, she shook my hand. But if she ain't willing, I ain't going to slap her upside the head and tell her, hey, shake my hand. I'm not going to force you, but I'm going to offer. That's what these guys did. They were his friend. They come up and said, man, why don't we take you down to where Jesus is? We heard he's going to be at this house. And apparently he said, yes, please. And he went down there, and this guy, he not only walked, but he got saved. You see, that's what you want to see. See, when we help each other, it's amazing how the world, they never see it too much. But if we're against each other, they all see it. You know how many people probably got, the good never spreads like it ought to. You know how many people probably got saved in that little church in Texas and nobody ever knew it? But you let some clown walk in there and kill half the congregation, and he's gotten more publicity than people that he should have had. They should have announced, look, this Fruit Loop walked in, killed a bunch of people, he's dead, don't let it happen again, and cut it off. But all you hear is the garbage. All of that stuff ain't important. The man's dead. He's gone. But what do they want to do? They want to ride it out. We need gun control. Well, you're going to have truck control too? The guy in New York City killed people with a pickup. We're going to outlaw pickups now? Maybe do a better background check. It's ridiculous. We need to announce the good that goes on. But when we do things good for each other, listen, they may not see it, but we see it. And we need to let others see Christ in us. You see, this guy got up cheerful. Oh, he was happy. I guarantee you, he went and told all the neighbors. Oh, guess what just happened to me? Man, these dudes took me down there, tore the house apart to get me in there. But hey, I'm walking. And not only that, I'm going to heaven. And it was all because they believed in what they were doing that that guy got his life together and is now in heaven. It's all because the mighty men of David stood up for God and believed in their king and said, hey, we've got to settle this. We've got to go to war. We've got to fix this. And God says, I'll take care of that for you. Man, they all run. You see, God gives us the victory. Hey, I've read the end of the book. I've already won. The battle's over. We're just going to live through these few days left. We've won the victory if you're saved. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord is your Savior, listen, you've won the victory. You've got it nailed down, put in the bag, sealed, signed, sealed, delivered. It's a done deal. That's good. But if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you're going to be like them Syrians. You're going to run. And some of them are probably wishing they would have went back and surrendered and talked to David and said, what do you guys got that I ain't? Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen Jesus come back yet? Those guys that we read about in chapter 11, they never saw Jesus die on the cross either. But they stuck it out and they were faithful to Him. They made it into what we call the Hall of Faith. The chapter 11 is a hall of faith, and all these people made it in there. And some of them were miraculously delivered, and some of them died some horrible deaths, but they all overcome, and they're all with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. But they didn't receive the promises. Listen, you can think about it the same way they did. Yeah, we know Jesus died on the cross because we're living after the fact. They were before it. But Jesus promised He's coming back for the saved. We call it the rapture. It ain't happened yet. We're still looking for it. Some of us will die before it takes place. But that's all right. It's still going to take place. But the Lord says, are you persuaded of it? Are you embracing it? That's what we need to be doing. It says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Listen, I don't belong here. The closer I get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the less I want to be here. Before I got that close, I liked going out and dabbling a little bit here and there. I liked my beer drinking and my pot smoking and every now and then a little snort here and there. I kind of liked all of that. Oh, I was a Christian. I'm going to heaven. And I liked using the filthy language and because, listen, the military did and the oil fields did and that's kind of all I knew. As far as I was concerned, the F word was supposed to be at the beginning of every sentence or somewhere in it. That's shameful, but it's true. You can ask my son or my wife, they'll tell you. I had a filthy mouth. But you see, I like to dabble, but I was saved. But oh, I like to dabble a little bit because I want to stay cool to my buddies. I want to stay cool to my family. You know, I got family now that don't even want nothing to do with me. Well, good. That's their problem, not mine. See, the closer I get to Christ, the less of that garbage I want. You know, that's a good way to know whether or not you're real close to the Lord Jesus, is to know where you put Him. When the Alabama Crimson Tide plays football, or Mississippi State Bulldogs, or the Arkansas Razorbacks, when they all get out on the field and, oh man, where does the Lord go? What you got? Brother John Richardson, Long Mountain, he is an Arkansas Razorback fan. Lord help him. But you know, he is. But he don't miss church to watch the game. You could buy that man tickets. He ain't going. Listen, you buy me a Super Bowl ticket back when they would stand for the national anthem. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for them now. But back when they were standing, you could have gave me a Dallas Cowboys, because I like the Dallas Cowboys, always have. You could have gave me a ticket for Sunday, the Super Bowl Sunday, if they were in it. They ain't been in it in a long time. But if they were, I wouldn't have went. Because I know where God's supposed to be. It ain't a football field. What? David's mighty men. Well, I can't go to it. I got a match over here with a giant this week. That ain't what they said. They went. Because they were dedicated and they were persuaded and they were embracing it. You see, the devil, he'll persuade you that you need a little bit of what the world offers. He does. He makes it look good. Listen, I like Budweiser. Didn't have to acquire a taste for it either. My dad always said, well, you got to acquire a taste for it. Well, I didn't. Neither did Jack Daniels. It was smooth. People say, well, it bites. And I said, no, it's smooth. See, the devil made sure that I liked that stuff. But you see, the closer I got with Christ, the more I realized that's the devil persuading me that I need that garbage. I don't need that in my life. You see, he tells you, you got to have all of that to enjoy life. Not true. Isn't God enough? You read what God did for you? Isn't that enough? We need to embrace real freedom and enjoyment in life through the power of God. That's what we need to do. We need to think about our lives. What does everybody else see in my life? I got family that'll come visit. They know that if they come visit Jim and Sandy, bless their hearts, they either stay in a motel or they stay at my house and go to church. If you're in a motel, they do what they want. But they already know that. I don't care if it's my mom and dad's, what would it be, 70th anniversary. I ain't missing church for it. And if they ain't in church, they ought to have the hind end kicked. I don't even know when my anniversary will be 50 years. It ain't that far off. But if it's on a Sunday, you can count on it. If I ain't preaching here, I'll be preaching somewhere if I'm alive and able to talk. I don't care if it is my 50th. Because we got to know where we stand. And if we don't know where we stand, if we ain't showing the world, why would they want what we've got? You know, I've told you before, and it's kind of funny. But Brother Larry can't sell me a bottle of hair tonic that makes your hair grow. Because he ain't got none. Brother Tony can't, for sure. He don't have none. I ain't going to buy his hair tonic. Oh, it makes it grow, brother. Really? It's slick. Listen, When we tell people about the Lord Jesus, if we ain't no different than the rest of the world, they laugh at you. They may not look at you and say, yeah, you're an idiot. But that's what they're saying under their breath. They're like, you idiot. You go to church, you give them money, but you ain't no different than I am. That's true. Let's stand. Where do you stand with the Lord today? Honestly.